Pray with me. Holy Spirit, as you gather us and live in us, come now through your word and speak to us what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, now that you've heard that story we're talking about today twice, I think there are two ways we often avoid God in our lives. But even though we avoid God, we have a God who is relentless in his searching and coming after us. So two ways we avoid God, and yet God is still relentless. So what are those two ways? Those two ways, I'm sure there are others, but two main ways are shown to us by the two sons in that story. There are three main characters, two sons, and then a father. And the sons show us ways we often avoid God. How does the younger brother do that? He's sick of being under his parents' house. He's sick of the rules, and he wants to go out and find himself. So he runs away. He's on the path to self-discovery. And he says, "You know, I'm going to break all the rules. I'm going to live it up." And so he goes to dad and says, "In that day, die, please. I want my inheritance now," which in that kind of culture, incredible, we can't even fathom how insulting that was to the whole family honor. And yet the father does it. So the younger son goes. He takes it all, sells the land, gets all the money, and goes and lives it up. Vegas party life, because he was trying to find himself, have fun, break all the rules, do everything he thought he wasn't supposed to do. But he gets to the end of that and realizes it's a dead end street. And those of you that have been down that path, you know that. It might seem fun for a while, but it's a dead end street. And it ends. And it's God whom you really crave, and yet you're avoiding. And so living the prodigal life is a way we avoid God. But it's easy for other people to look at that brother and say, "Oh, yep, he's the bad one. He's the sinful one. He's the lost." It's easy to look at that and judge. Yep, alcohol, drugs, prostitutes, shady friends, whatever it is, illegal things, we can look at, point in that and say, "Yep, I see that. That's sin. That's wrong. He's lost." But he's only one part of the story. There's another brother, an older one, and who shows us another way we avoid God, but it looks completely opposite. While the younger brother disgraces the family, moves far away, wastes his money, his life, on whatever, the older brother does the exact opposite. He stays home and is completely faithful to his duties. He works on the family business. He gets married. He settles down. He has a family. Everything looks good. His friends want his house. His co-workers want his salary. His neighbors want the respect that he has earned in the community. Everything looks good. Except that's all they are, looks. He is still avoiding God. And so, yes, it's possible to have everything look good on the outside and be put together perfectly on the outside, and yet still on the inside be rotten. It's possible. This brother obeys, but he's terribly bitter about it. He doesn't indulge like his younger brother. Maybe he wishes he does, but he doesn't, and he feels so good about not. He says, "I'm the good one. I never disgraced my family. I never screwed up like that. I have my life in order. I work hard. I did everything right. I get what I deserve." There are two ways to avoid God. One by breaking all the rules, the other by keeping all the rules in the wrong way. One by running away and trying to find yourself at the expense of everyone else and everything else. And the other by ruthlessly following all the rules, never doing anything wrong, and then feeling superior to everyone else who's not as good as you. One way is by never darkening the doors of a church for years or decades. And the other can be by coming to worship every Sunday and giving generously and serving on boards and yet somehow having a heart as cold as stone. So what about you? How do you tend to avoid God? Like a younger brother or like an older brother? Or lately or this season of life, how have you avoided God? By running away to things that you think will fulfill you but don't, or by joylessly keeping your nose clean and then wondering what's wrong with everybody else. There are two ways we avoid God. And the strange thing is, this is what's strange when you get to the end of the story, the one who looks good ends up being more lost than the one who looks bad. The one who stays home, the one who keeps all the rules, the one who is respected by everyone at the end of the story is more lost than the prodigal who runs off to spend his money on alcohol and sex and whatever. It's possible to worship every week, to give generously, to serve, to give, to do everything right in the wrong way and be very, very lost and even be more lost than you know. Yes. We avoid God. But if you read through the whole story, we see that God is relentless in his pursuit of us. God wants you to be with him. It's a story of two sons, but there's a main character, and it's not either of them. The main character is the father. In the story, it's the father that goes out and pursues both sons. He wants them both home, and he goes after both of them. So the younger one, eventually we see, yeah, his life is ruined. He spends it all, he has nothing, and he tries to come back and ask to be a servant. He knows that being a son is completely out of the question. He's ruined that. But the father won't even listen to his speech. He cuts him off. He has none of it. The father embarrasses himself to bring this son home. The father looks like an absolute fool. He would have to pick up his robe to run, which those guys didn't do in that day, make a complete embarrassment of himself, and he hugs and kisses and puts the family seal ring, and then he kills the fattened calf, throws this party, and spares absolutely no cost to bring that son home. That's all he ever wanted in his heart, was to bring him home again. Do you know that God spares no cost to bring you home? That's what Jesus is telling us here. God spares no cost to himself to bring you home. God runs after you from heaven to earth, being born as a fragile little baby. And then Jesus lives his whole life here on earth to experience your pain and your struggles and your brokenness and your hardships and your emotions. And Jesus takes all of those to himself. And he takes on your death and in your addictions and your brokenness. Jesus takes all of those with himself to the cross. God spared no expense to bring you home. And so when you look at Jesus on the cross, that's God running after you like that father for his son. That's God embarrassing himself so much so that you might come home. That's how much God loves you. But then the father also goes out to the older son too. The older one heard that his worthless brother came crawling back and his father threw a feast and spent what's now his inheritance because the other brother's is gone. And he's saying, what does dad think he's doing? Has he lost his mind? This is all my stuff. I earned it. I work hard. I'm a good person. I've done everything right. I've never brought dishonor to this family. I don't deserve to be treated this way. And my brother does not deserve to be treated that way. And so the father goes out and he pleads. And he says, don't you understand? Your brother was dead and now he's alive. I thought I'd never see him again, and I've thought about him every single day, all I've ever wanted for him to come home again. And he pleads with the older son, says, come back, be a part of this family. This is your family, and I want you home too. And the older brother won't. And so this story ends with a long-lost party brother, the embarrassment to the family being brought in back home, while the respected member of the board or the youngest partner in the firm is left out. That's how this story ends, but it's not how your story has to end. See, there are two ways we avoid God, and it is strangely possible to be more lost sitting in a pew on Sunday than sitting at a bar on Saturday. It's possible. And yet, God is relentlessly searching for you. That's what God does. God's coming after you. God's running after you. So when you see Jesus hanging on a cross, that's God running after you. That's God embarrassing himself. With Jesus' blood flowing down his face and his body sweating and struggling and dying, that's God embarrassing himself so that he could run after you to bring you back home. That's how much God loves you. And if I were you, I'd stop avoiding that. Amen.